Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. June.
Before you start.
Alright. Oh, go on. Is this a disclaimer?
No, it's not. It's not a disclaimer / alert.
Alright.
One of our regular listeners, Seaside Wolf, pointed out whilst talking about the New Kids on the Block.
Right.
I talked about Joey Tempest. Okay. Who, of course, is the lead singer in Europe, when I actually meant Joey McIntyre. I made a Joey. Yeah, I've ended up looking like Joey, haven't I?
Joey Tempest. Joey Tempest sounds like someone from, like, Dawson's Creek.
Just sounds like a disabled person caught in high wind.
June 1981. Where do you want to... I mean, first of all, how you been? You been all right?
Yeah, I've been all right. Why? What have you heard?
No, nothing. No, nothing at all.
No, I'm fine.
Why so cagey?
Dad?
Well, I'll tell you what, right? Because you've come around here and you've already done something that's pissed me off, right?
What's that?
You come around here banging on that you've been watching Bruno Brooks on the telly all day.
No, I don't want people to think I just sit around watching TV all day.
Did you say that you spent all day watching Bruno Brooks?
No. What I said was, I've had Now 80s on the whole day, and it was Bruno Brooks' Forgotten 80s. But he wasn't actually on there. He was just voicing it over. You didn't actually see his face.
The last episode, like a lot of people, you know, we went into how Bruno Brooks took our dreams.
Pint-sized cunt.
Tore them apart in front of our very faces. You know, and look at what it's come to. This is where we're at now. And that's his fault. And what do? Spend the whole day listening to him.
Forgive and forget.
You don't strike me as someone that forgives and forgets very easily.
You know me so well.
Right. Are we going to start with films today?
Yeah, we always start with films.
You say this every time. I always thought we used to start with music.
Nah, we always start with films.
Okay, right.
That's probably one of your other fucking 400 podcasts you do.
Right, okay. What was the first film that had an emotion? No, that's not the one.
Well, right. Ship down, all right. Oh. That's fucking started the podcast on the banner. Is there a sadder song than fucking Bright Eyes? What's that?
You know you can't go on thinking nothing's wrong. Oh. Who's gonna drive you home tonight?
Is that just sad because it's linked with the pictures of African kids starving?
It's really sad, that song.
Yeah, but
it's actually about mental health.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's it's about someone that he knew that, yeah, had, like, mental health issues.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What fucking bleak start to the podcast. Jesus.
Well, let's get things fucking moving then.
Yeah, it's party started.
Pick a film.
Well, there's actually a few films this month, isn't there? You ain't been on fucking movie phone again,
have
you?
I'm paranoid. That's why I asked you to go first.
Got all the ones from March 83.
Yeah. I'm really mindful that I'm going to go Return of the Jedi and just go...
So I've got a couple to start off with. Stripes, Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I don't know that much about it. I think I saw it years ago, but...
Right, I can take this.
Go, well, please do then.
I love it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Murray, Harold Ramis. I think it was Ramis, yeah. Obviously, I think, put it together. He was quite prolific, wasn't he, Ramis?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're kind of dysfunctional. It's like Police Academy.
It sounded like Private Benjamin meets Police Academy.
Exactly that, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, John Candy's in it.
Yeah, I did see that on Wikipedia.
Yeah, and there's a bit of like Officer and a Gentleman vibe to it as well, where like obviously all the governors don't like him, and he's a bit fast-talking. He's Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And they end up, like, there's this state-of-the-art armoured vehicle that's got like computers in it that it's impenetrable. Impenetrable? Say that.
Impenetrable.
That one. and Ramis and Murray nick it with the two women that are like the military police that are the love interests.
Yeah.
And then they go, but like any other, spoiler alert, they save the day.
Yeah.
You know, typical Mahoney style, Richard Gere style. It's fucking brilliant, Stripes. I watched it. They've put it on Netflix, I think, or Prime. And I watched it again about 4 or 5 months ago.
Oh, really? I'll go and have a little watch of that.
Bloody brilliant.
So do you think Police Academy was informed by it then?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that whole storyline of just like Wally's like signing up.
Yeah.
Not signing up, kind of getting forced into it.
Yeah.
And then having to deliver it, and it's all the training, and it's all like ridiculously shit.
Yeah.
But then it all comes good and they become the heroes.
Well, talking about Wally's signing up, I did see that Raiders of the Lost Ark was also this month. Mm-hmm. And something that I didn't know, I've got lost down a fucking Wikipedia 80s film rabbit hole today. And obviously we know Raiders of the Lost Ark directed by Spielberg, but it's from a story by George Lucas and Philip Kaufman. Right, Philip Kaufman wrote and directed The Wanderers. Just looking at a poster on your wall there.
Because I didn't realise, like, The Wanderers is like quite a famous book.
Oh yeah, I learned that today.
When I went on a film podcast and I chose this, and the host studied that book for part of his film degree.
So do you know, was it a book based on someone's experiences? Was it a fiction or non-fiction?
Based upon the novel by Richard Price.
Well, novel suggests not. I mean, a lot of it feels like situations that you would have got in with your mates in college.
I don't know what else Richard Price wrote, but apparently, I don't know when he wrote it, but whether it was written in the 60s when that film was based, I don't know.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Raiders of the Lost Ark? When I got to college, obviously I weren't in like the clever classes, and so...
What's that in?
I weren't very bright. Like, why'd you make me say it? You horrible cunt. And so what they allowed you to do was like I don't think it was like one afternoon a week, you could either go in the library and study, and I've done that once, and I have my Walkman on really, really loudly in there, and our mutual friend Simone, who I didn't really know, was older, and just come over and like tap me on the shoulder and tell me to turn my music down. So I decided that I didn't want to hang out in the library anymore. So I signed up to do archaeology because of my love of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
What, really?
Yeah. Right. So I done archaeology on a Thursday afternoon when I was at Palmer's.
Yeah.
For about, I don't know, 8 months or something like that. Rubbish. I think the highlight was going to like Cole Asphalt with like maybe like two metal detectors between 20 of us.
Did you roll under any quickly closing doors and grab your
hat? No massive ball come like tumbling. I wanted to get involved in a massive game of mousetrap, human mousetrap. Yeah. That's what I wanted. I would have had a whip. I quite liked the gun when he just pulled it out and shot the guy with a samurai sword that was doing all the cool stuff. Nah, just wander around Cole Asphalt while someone like spent 20 minutes digging up a fucking can.
That does sound like what archaeology is, though.
Yeah, but I was sold a dream, wasn't I? Kaufman, Spielberg, Lucas. They fucking pitched it high.
Well, so I found out that today, whilst on my Wikipedia rabbit hole, that it was written by Lawrence Kasdan, who co-wrote Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Force Awakens. And whilst going further down my rabbit hole, I found out he also wrote The Bodyguard.
Oh, okay.
Right? Which he wrote in 1975, right. Sold to a studio in 1977, and then it didn't get made until 1991. And he wrote, because he wrote in the 70s, he pictured Steve McQueen in the lead role.
Yeah, he was handsome.
Oh, he was handsome, wasn't he?
I
would.
I...
If I had to. If they burst in here with machine guns.
Costner or McQueen? They're holding guns to your head.
McQueen, eh?
Yeah, always. I watched a thing about Star Wars, and they were saying that... Was it... Yeah, Jedi... They didn't think they were going to be able to get Harrison Ford back in for that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he had done this and was a megastar by now. And I can't think what it was, but they paid him enough.
Yeah.
But they were thinking that he weren't going
to
do it.
What are they going to have to do, like what Neighbours did and get a different Han Solo, like Jim from Neighbours or someone?
I don't know if they get... Jim from Neighbours, a.k.a. Alan...
Dale.
He's not, that just come out so quick. Maybe they would have got Kurt Russell, who was originally meant to have played Han Solo.
Well, Christopher Walken was meant to have auditioned for it as well, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Or he was one of the names in the act.
The one that, like, the documentary I've been watching on the Disney thing, they show Kurt Russell, like, reading for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because didn't the bird who ended up singing in Berlin, what was her name? I can't fucking remember.
Lynn.
Yeah, Lynn from Berlin. She auditioned for the Princess Leia, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
When they cast her, because Carrie Fisher's mum and dad were quite famous, weren't they?
Yeah.
And he didn't want anyone that was famous in it. He wanted it to be all unknowns. Of like the main cast.
Yeah.
But, yeah, apparently she was that good. But he did also say something like, you've got to drop X amount of pounds before you can do it.
Apparently, oh, really?
Quite brutal on her, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she looked amazing, didn't she?
Whoa, eh? Ooh. Cool.
But I mean, you say that you don't want famous people in it, and then you cast
Peter Cushing,
absolute Hollywood royalty. Like, you know.
Then I suppose I mean, Peter Cushing always looked the same, didn't he? Like, he looked the same in whatever he did, whether he was fucking 30 or 70. But Alec Guinness looked quite different by the time he was playing Ben Kenobi to how he looks in the Ealing comedies, because he was a younger bloke then, and he was an old bloke with a beard by then, in a dressing gown.
I'm scared to say some of these films, but I've got dates that equate to them. For Your Eyes Only.
Yeah, I've got that. How'd you feel about Bond?
I think he's boring.
You always say things are boring. Why is Bond boring? A lot of people find Bond really exciting.
I know. I ain't got a problem with him. Like, stop trying to get me into trouble.
But you're just fucking people off, like, every week. Every week I'll get these DMs. I'll never show them to you. It's just people like, he's really pissed all over my childhood again. Why'd you do a podcast with that cunt? And I was like, he's my mate. I just feel sorry for him because he couldn't get any of the clever kids' classes at college.
Where did you meet him? he had a little trowel, thank God, that sport. Just digging up a can.
I just caught him examining an owl pellet trying to find a mouse's skull.
Oh dear. I remember that, like, as a kid growing up, that, like, you was meant to, like, love James Bond. Yeah. And I remember having, like, the toy car, the white one, like, and thinking it was really cool. But I think, do you know what? I think we were spoiled because Star Wars happened.
Made everything else seem shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you might be right, actually.
Apart from Raiders. Raiders was brilliant.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, but it was sort of cut from the same.
Yeah.
Swashbuckling cloth, wasn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. And, yeah, James Bond, it was like, just someone that looked like one of your dad's better-looking mates, that, like,
David Niven's nephew.
Yeah, just a bloke in a suit, just wandering around, like. Yeah, I don't know. It just didn't do it for me, James Bond.
No, it didn't do it for me either.
Right.
But I did kind of, like, you know, sort of Christmas time, there'd always be a Bond on.
Yeah.
Where, you know, when I was a kid around my nans, and normally kind of, I would normally watch that, but I don't ever remember having any kind of excitement or affinity about it. And I haven't seen a Bond film since Timothy Dalton was in it.
See, I've been to the cinema to see probably the last five.
Well, that's not someone that don't like Bond. No. Is that someone whose missus likes
exactly
Bond?
That. And I go there. I don't really like things like that and Bourne Identity and just like action films. Like, I just think it's a bit boring. And like, I just want to go and watch some really bleak kitchen sink drama.
Yeah, but as long as it starts with someone in Glasgow kicking their dog to death, you're fucking happy as Larry, aren't you?
You know what? If that was a synopsis, I'd be like, oh, am I giving that a whirl?
Someone kicking their dog to death and Paddy Considine turning up, and you're fucking well away.
That's literally... Anything like that, I'm like, oh, brilliant. Unfortunately, Mrs. Whiffin's not a fan of that sort of thing. So I have to go and watch the James Bond films. And I must say, in the cinema, on the big screen, if I can just kind of leave me preconceptions to one side, I can just watch it and go, yeah, that was all right.
You just stick your headphones in and watch Neil by Mouth on your iPhone, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple more.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I'm going to go with Cannonball Run.
Is this just so you can moan about car films?
I've done that, haven't I?
Well, you've moaned about... I'm sure you fucking... Was it Smokey and the Bandit
you
had a moan
about? Same thing. They're both the same film.
Have they both got Burt Reynolds in?
I think so.
I think this one has. So when I think of Smokey and the Bandit, I think of Burt Reynolds.
It's just fucking blokes with moustaches and, like, some kind of, like...
Has everyone got a moustache?
I think back then, yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know what... I mean, and it's, again, that whole thing of, like... Blokes in their 20s back then looked like they were in their, like, early 50s.
Yeah. How old do you think Sid James was, like, 21?
Sid James, if you look it up, in 1981, Sid James was the same age as Arnold from Different Strokes.
He auditioned for the role, didn't he?
Oh, dear. All right, well, look, I'm not going to start fucking moaning about car films again. Superman 2.
No.
June the 1st, 1981.
What, have you been on Movie Phone?
Yes, I have.
No, it's not. It's not that. Have you got something interesting or relevant to say about it that you wanted to say? Or should we save it to when it actually come out?
Yeah, save it.
Right, let me tell you what I fucking got. I'll tell you what I've got is Escape to Victory.
Why do you know I got that?
Because you're on the wrong website.
Oh, is that, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, it's fucking brilliant. How good was Escape to Victory when you was a kid?
Brilliant. It was like...
Kane, Stallone, Moore, Ardiles, Pele.
Walk.
Osman. Fucking yes.
Who else was in it? Was Mick Mills in it?
It did, right, it didn't list McMills, but it did say that they...
It was all Ipswich, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
they took a lot of Ipswich town players. But Ipswich were like fucking flying high then, weren't they? Like, that was, you know, where Ipswich's fucking purple patch, wasn't it?
Who else was in it? Stallone?
Yeah, Stallone and Kane seemed to be the only two non-footballers.
Yeah.
And then it was just loads of celebrity footballers.
Bloody brilliant, that film. Oh, yeah, I love that. Like, if ever that's on, I get all excited.
I haven't seen it for fucking years.
It's a bit of a Christmas one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it'd be on at Christmas, and I'd be like, yes. Like,
it's just really exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah, really exciting. I've got one.
Go on.
See, I know that you're... Are you going to mention, like, a bit of a fantasy one that was really big?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to go for one that's... that came out on June the 6th in 1981, called Hot Bubblegum.
No, I don't know of that.
So, Hot Bubblegum, those lemon popsicle boys are at it again.
Oh, fucking hell, right. I'll probably do know of Hot Bubblegum then.
Right, so, when I show you the sleeve, like, that sleeve there.
Cool.
Yeah, that was one of the... I've never seen it, but that was one of the films that would be in the video shop... That was like, again, much like we mentioned, like Wanderers earlier, in that kind of vein of Porky's and Lemon Popsicle, it was them kind of 1950s frat films that would generally involve young lads getting up to hijinks, and there would definitely be some Bristols in it.
Yeah.
And it would have been like, whoa.
Did you ever watch any of the Lemon Popsicle, Private Popsicle films?
No.
Right. I watched one time in the 90s, like, because I got an old VHS of it, and it was. An Israeli film that had been dubbed, and it was fucking terrible. So I just went and watched Porky's again. You know what you're getting, don't you?
Do you reckon, like, if you watch Porky's now, do you reckon it stands up?
Yeah. Yeah, I do, yeah. Because American Pie was just fucking Porky's,
yeah.
But a little more, like, you know, with a little more modern... forgiveness towards these things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think even American Pie now, there'd be scenes in that which, like, the old fucking hashtag Me Too Brigade would probably... No, but some
when
things...
did you just become your dad when you said that? Yeah, you know, the old fucking woke police.
Is this what people want to hear? I'm just giving them what they want to hear. They're all old cunts like us.
Oh, dear.
These lot don't like all the fucking hashtag police, do they?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, people who listen to this, nah, they want us to kick against the pricks.
Clash of the Titans.
I can't remember what's Clash of the Titans and what's Jason and the Argonauts. Because there was a lot of stop frame animation, weren't there, of what one's the one where all the little skeletons come out of the ground and he fights them? Is that Jason?
That's Jason the Argonauts.
Right.
Clash of the Titans is the little owl. The little,
yeah.
I can't remember what it's called.
I know the one you mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Medusa.
Yeah. I remember that. I have a abiding memory of Medusa kind of coming into this fucking room.
Terrifying.
With all the snakes in her hair. Stop motion animated.
I'd like to... I remember thinking, like, Clash of Titans was really fucking good when I was a kid, and whenever that was on, or Jason the Argonauts, I was like, yes.
Yeah, yeah, it was really fucking exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it felt like proper fucking exciting films.
Do you know something I found out today, right? Who was in Clash of the Titans and Raiders of the Lost Ark in this month? I only fucking found it out through Wikipedia.
Don't know.
Pat Roach. the wrestler fucking...
From
Yeah, Pat Bomber Roach was in fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark. He was the bloke who fucking got like done by the fucking helicopter blade.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, and he was in Clash of the Titans as well.
That's living all right.
What? What a fucking mental career that bloke had. Right? As I got lost down my Wikipedia rabbit hole, I went on Pat Roach's right, is there more of a fucking bloke than Pat Roach, right? Check this out. Right, his missus's name was Doreen. And in the 1970s he ran a gym in Birmingham and also owned and co-managed a scrapyard. He had some fucking pubes, didn't he, Pat Roach? Fucking hell. Surprised he could get a leotard on.
Oh dear.
Fucking hell. So he was oh dear. Because he was a legit wrestler, wasn't he? He was on like Saturday Wrestling, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a proper fucking wrestler, wasn't he? But he was one of them blokes like Chaz and Dave, wasn't he? One of them bearded blokes from the fucking late 70s and early 80s who just fucking... You'd have just loved to go down the pub with him, wouldn't you, Pat Roach?
I love the fact that you think he had too many pubes for his own good.
He couldn't help it.
And like, do you know what? Yeah, like, to be honest, Pat, like... You've been bossing this being a fucking bloke thing. Yeah, do you want to retire or... Oh, hang on a minute. Do you want to be in a Fwederson pet?
Yeah.
Like, could you be any more of a fucking geezer?
Well, that's why he got the role, wasn't it? If you're going to be a bricky, you need some fucking pubes.
Owned a scrapyard and a gym.
Exactly. He can take a carburetor out, and if you fucking knock him, he'll smash you around the fucking bonts with it.
I bet he was well tasty.
Definitely. Yeah. He could have it, couldn't he?
Yeah. He never told Maureen what happened at work.
Doreen. Nah. What goes on at the scrapyard stays at the scrapyard.
Leave it at work, Pat.
Grab some beer, will you?
Yeah. Have you got any more films you want to talk about?
No, that's it.
Okay. What do you want to talk about next? Shall we talk about music?
Shall we?
Yes.
Thanks.
So I pulled the chart up, which is all new to me, because the one that you told me to look up, I did. And then when you come round here earlier, I realised that you chose the wrong one, so you'd got it wrong.
Yeah, someone sent me a message saying like you'd become more entertained than me, so what I like to do is change all your information at the last minute.
Right, so number one, One Day in Your Life by Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't remember that being any good.
No, he's good, though.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, you're just thinking of the elephant man in the corner of his room and he's tarnishing your fucking memories of it. But, no, he's good.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, so he's a bit of a fucking standard slow, but no, I reckon that's all right.
Because it's really weird. I was having this conversation when I was looking at the charts earlier. And I was chatting to my missus and I was like... And she's a big... Jackson fan, and I was like, I thought, because obviously Thriller's not come out yet, and I always thought that One Day in Your Life, Say 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 and Farewell My Summer Love were tracks that were like the old label reissued off the strength of the success of Thriller, but obviously this come out before.
I mean, maybe they did reissue them, but Say 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 weren't, that was a new one, wasn't it? When it came out, because that came out a little bit later than this, didn't it?
I'm thinking of Say Say Say. Oh, I don't know.
I can't think of a worse fucking duet than The Girl Is Mine. It's just rubbish. Like, you know, you think of Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson.
Yeah, and that's the best they could come up with.
Yeah,
it's saying something when Say 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 is better.
I don't think Say 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 is that bad, but then maybe I'm just comparing it with The Girl Is Mine.
But what was Macca doing at this point? Play the pipes of peace all around the world.
That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not...
No More Lonely Nights. That's right,
Never Be Another. Yeah, I remember thinking that was all right. I do also remember now, looking back and thinking, it certainly ain't fucking Day in the Life or fucking I Want to Hold Your Hand.
No, but I think it was kind of clear who the one out the Beatles was, wasn't it?
I suppose.
Just listen to Imagine, fuck's sake. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
I see a thing on John Lennon the other day. Oh, weirdly, we might as well fucking talk about it now. This is the month that Mark Chapman, who shot John Lennon, went to prison.
Oh.
Yeah, I think he admitted it.
He wanted to be famous, though, didn't he? He wanted to be famous for being the bloke that shot John Lennon.
Yeah. I think he was a bit of a disturbed individual, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But this documentary I see the other night, it was like something, Life in 10 Pictures, and it was about John Lennon. And when you kind of see what he was doing and the views he had about everything, you can kind of think, if you were someone that wanted to maintain the status quo, you'd have took out John Lennon because he had such a fucking, you know, such a left of centre, off the beaten track approach to everything, you know, and also just a massive fucking following and a massive platform for it.
Hugely.
That if you were of the mind of wanting to keep the status quo going, you'd have got some mentalist to go and fucking take him out.
Yep.
I'm not saying that happened, but you know.
I mean, while we're just talking about news, I did also read that the man that assassinated Martin Luther King was stabbed 20 times in June 1981 in prison.
Oh, really?
By other inmates that he never grassed up on. But I didn't realise the bloke that shot Martin Luther King lived till 1998 in prison.
Is that true?
Mm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and in the end they did find out who'd done it, and the other lads got another 20 years each for chivvying up. Yeah, whoever it was.
Do you want to stay on an assassination tip for a minute?
Why, have you got one?
Yeah, fucking... this month, June 81, the teenager, Marcus Sargent, fired 6 blank rounds at the Queen. I don't know if she's doing fucking Trooping of the Guards or some parade or something. And so I ended up on fucking Wikipedia reading all about him. He was 17, failed to get in the Marines and Army... Failed to get in the police and the fire service. So he sent letters to 2 magazines, one of which included a picture of him with his father's gun. Writing's on the wall, wasn't it?
What's his name?
Marcus Sargent. But he's come out now and he's living under a different name, apparently. So in questioning, Sargent said he'd been inspired by the assassination of John Lennon and the attempts on the lives of Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul, which had all happened in a few months previous. And in particular, he noted the ease with which Mark David Chapman had become famous after killing Lennon. A friend said that at the time of John Hinckley Jr.'s attempt on the life of President Reagan, Sargent had said, "I'd like to be the first one to take a pot shot at the Queen." The police found that Sargent had written, "I'm going to stun and mystify the world. I'll become the most famous teenager in the world."
He used a blank firing gun.
Yeah, he couldn't get hold of a proper one. I'll bet he's gutted now when he goes on TV and sees Tracy Beaker.
Number 2, Being With You by Smokey Robinson.
Motown 1 and 2.
Yeah, oh yeah. Number 3, Kate Robbins and Beyond, More Than In Love. Don't even know that.
I've no fucking idea what it is. Is that Kate Robbins from, you know, The Impressionist?
Oh, that must be horrible if it is. Number 4, Red Savine with Teddy Bear. Don't know that.
No, I don't know that either. Do you ever go back and check out any of these songs you don't know?
Sometimes, yeah, but then sometimes I just look at them and I just think...
I wouldn't like that.
I know I wouldn't like that. Hajamole, 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 ba-dang, 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 ba-dang.
What is that?
Zipping up my boots, going back to my roots.
Yeah, that's a tune, isn't
brilliant.
It?
Brilliant, yeah. Yeah.
Who was that, Odyssey?
Yeah, number 5. Fucking tune, that is. Bombing up the charts at number 6, This Town. Oh.
Coming like a ghost town. Oh. All the clubs are being closed down. Is there a better special song than Ghost?
On a dance floor. What's that?
My master you fight against themselves. Is there a better special song than Ghost Town?
Do Nothing.
Yeah, you're right, there is.
Yeah. Move on.
No, I think they're both exceptional fucking...
Yeah.
Exceptional.
Because
tunes.
You know... the somber bit, somber, that when it goes... Do you remember the good old days? Yes! It's like, you want to have a little can and everything when that comes on,
don't
you?
I do, I remember him all, but he's all fucked. It's excellent, Ghost Town.
Oh, bloody brilliant. Bloody, bloody brilliant. Right. Any other songs you want to talk about?
I've got at 9, Hazel O'Connor, Will You.
You've changed chart again.
Have I?
Yeah, it's number 10.
Well, I might have just put the wrong number down and fucking cry about it.
Just Get organised.
The principal reason I wanted to speak about Hazel O'Connor's Will You was because me and Andy, my mate Andy, we went to see Hazel O'Connor.
Mm.
They were doing a showing of the film Breaking Glass.
Mm-hmm.
This was it was a couple of years ago.
This was from Breaking Glass, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
And this was just before COVID. So we went to, did we go to fucking Norwich or somewhere? Or was it Bury St Edmunds? It was somewhere, somewhere Suffolk or Norfolk-y. And Hazel O'Connor was doing a showing of the film Breaking Glass. And then afterwards she was doing a Q&A and then she was going to play some of the songs from it. And so we got there, see the film. It was, it's dated, but it's fucking brilliant. And Phil Daniels is in it. And what's his name? Carver from The Bill is in her band. And it was really good. And then she done this Q&A after, and we're everyone from the early 80s is in their 60s now, aren't they? And it was just, she just spent the whole time speaking about her fucking ailments and about her dogs, and you're just oh, for fuck's sake, I could have just done a Q&A with one of my mum's mates.
Pat Roach wouldn't have done that, would he?
God, no, no. They'd just be telling you all the times he'd been tooled up and fucking belted someone.
Oh, I really don't like Will You by Hazel O'Connor.
I can understand why you wouldn't like it. It is a bit horrible. Don't make me feel sexy.
No, I'm going to pop it in a little box over there with Toya.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's getting kind of late now. I wondered if you stay. And that's all right, I've got my motor. I've only had 7 pints. I'll take my chances.
Number 9, in fact, is Memory by Elaine Page.
Mm.
So I made a note, because is that from a show?
I Know Him So Well from a show.
Yeah, that was from Chess.
So is that from the same show?
No, I don't think so.
She was always doing shows, wasn't she, Elaine Page?
Yeah, she's got a little show on Radio 2 about shows.
I actually don't mind that, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what, right? I've got a little story about this. Right? I fucking hate musicals, right?
I don't mind musicals.
Right, but it depends.
I don't like all of them.
Right.
But actually, no, you're right. I'm probably talking about fucking Grease and the Book of Mormon.
Right, see, they're the ones I like, right? But what I don't want to hear is, which I have to hear, because my wife and her friends love a musical, so I have to hear Chicago and all that jazz and all of that stuff. And
yeah.
It just ain't my bag. But, you know, I'll go along with it, you know. You have to, didn't you? But we was driving home from somewhere, and she went, oh, I'm going to put on Radio 2, we're going to have some show tunes. And I thought, oh, fucking hell. And I went, really? And she went, just give it a go, will ya? And literally turned the channel and it was just the end of something from one of the 42nd Street or something like that. I was just thinking, oh God, what is this shit? And I was just sort of tutting and sneering and probably got my phone out, just being a petulant little shit. And then it just went bong. Bong ba ba bong 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 ba ba bong 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 bong. We could have been any, and it went into "You give a little love and it all comes back to you." La la. Oh, I was euphoric. I was so happy. I was I like the show tune.
There are good musicals.
Yeah, Bugsy Malone's brilliant.
Yeah, he's fucking brilliant.
I think it's Have I told you that I went to BAFTA for a Bugsy Malone thing?
No.
So I went, it would have been maybe the 40th anniversary, about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And they'd done a thing in BAFTA where, was it BAFTA? Yeah, I'm sure it's BAFTA, whatever it is
BFI.
No, it was BAFTA.
Yeah, BFI.
What was the other thing? Or was it there? Anyway, it was where we saw Roachford, round there. It wasn't a BFI.
No.
Like, I said it wasn't a BFI. Stop saying BFI.
BFI ain't round there.
No, I know.
Fucking mug.
But that was really good. Like, you went in there, all like the costumes and all like
splurge guns.
Splurge guns. Like, you could fire a splurge gun. It was like 2-1-B medical. No. but yeah, it was really fucking good. Yeah. Like, we took the kids and got dressed up and like.
Oh, wow.
Fucking brilliant. I love that film. He knew how to make a film, didn't he?
Who was that?
He died last year. Commitments. Alan
Partridge.
That's it, yeah.
Bennett.
Oh dear. Right.
Hanson.
Wells. Number 11, Body Talk.
He was just a sexy bloke, wasn't he, Lee John?
I know we mentioned that Roach had too many pubes for his own good.
Yeah.
Do you think...
None. He was the...
No, I wasn't...
He was the first person in the country to shave them off. I guarantee it. He was so sexy, wasn't he? He just fucking...
What, Lee John was too sexy for pubes?
Yeah.
Is that what his body was talking about?
Exactly. The minute they started coming through, he just shaved them. He only ever had a bareback wank. Just a sexy bloke. It's a sexy video, that Body Talk.
Oh.
I saw that today on Bruno Brooks's... Sorry to keep mentioning him.
Stop bringing him up.
I'll just call it Now 80s. Saw that today on Now 80s with Bruno Brooks.
Body Talk.
Body Talk. Sexy.
I'll
tell you what else I saw, which is another sexy bloke, is I saw Soft Cell's Bedsitter. It's a fucking great video, that Bedsitter video. He's a sexy bloke, Mark Harmon.
Is that video, there's like sort of, almost like a kind of a stage setup of like a house or something.
Of a bedsit.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just in it, isn't he?
Alone.
Yeah. And then, what's his name? The other one. The one with the tash. Ball. Yeah. The one with the tash.
Johnny Ball.
He's just
Bobby Ball.
Bobby Ball. He's just
hanging with that, mate. Mark Orman and Bobby Ball from Soft Cell.
He turns up at the door and just pulls his fucking braces out.
That's brilliant.
He's just walking all around Soho, and then like,
of course he is.
Plot spoiler at the end, he turns up at the bedsit and just turns off the dripping tap.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, he's a seedy man, isn't he? The Soft Cell was seedy, weren't they?
Well, you don't end up with 2 pints of spunk in your stomach without being a sexy bloke. That's all I'm saying.
Right. So let's discuss this, right? Because do you know what? While we discuss this, I'm going to Google this, like, because as I've grown up over the years, each time I've heard that story, there's another pint of jizz. So I'm going to ask, if I Google Mark Almond...
I don't want you fixing the results because you want to get him on your fucking Off the Beaten Track podcast.
I've Googled Mark Almond spunk. Right, okay. Were rumours about Mark Almond...
He had to have his stomach pumped, didn't he?
Because
he had
two, we'll find out, won't we?
2 pints of spunk.
Okay.
It was before they'd properly gone metric, wasn't it? Like nowadays, it'd probably be like just over a litre of spunk.
Okay, right. In the 80s, there was a story going around that Mark Allman had been taken to hospital to have his stomach pumped, whereupon they removed from his gut approximately 2 pints of Biff. Does anybody know if this is really true, or is it one of those urban myths like Bob Holness playing the sax on Baker Street?
What, Bob Holness never played the sax on Baker Street?
I'm not sure. The only way anyone could have that much semen pumped out of their stomach would be to have it pumped in via some sort of pump minutes before. In the normal course of events, it is uneventfully digested like any other protein snack.
No, but perhaps it found its way down the top way and half found its way up the other way.
Right.
Is that possible?
I'm not sure. I mean, it just sounds like, there was 9 different types rather than the amount. I mean, that's very different. Nine different loads of spaff ain't the end of the world, is it?
What, off 9, does that just mean off 9 different people,
yeah,
or 9 people of different ethnicities?
Well, I don't know, 9 different people. So obviously, yeah, he's just had a big night out.
Yeah, but
he was a pop star.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, good on you, Mark.
Mark, if you're listening, give us a bell and tell us whether that's true or not. I reckon he's had his team of fucking spam bots out changing the results of that. Either that or you've just lied to try and get him on your podcast. He ain't going to come on it now once he's heard this.
No.
Have you messaged him and asked him to come on now?
Well, I've stopped saying about Mark Allman coming on things. Right. Any other songs you want to talk about?
Can I just say, that whole last section, it's nothing to do with gayness, is it? Because, you know, if...
Why are you saying that? I ain't saying that.
No, I'm just clearing it up.
It's just...
Well, I'm not clearing it up.
No, don't clear that up.
I don't want to clear that up.
No.
But, you know, if it was a female singer with 2 pints of spunk, you know, it wouldn't make any... It makes no difference to me.
What's weird is it's frowned upon, and it's kind of like... Almost like... It was such, like, urban legend, wasn't it, this?
Yeah.
Whereas if that was something like... Something to do with like the likes of like Motley Crue or Led Zeppelin, you know, in the
Pat Roach, just be saying good on you, Pat. If he'd done 2 pints of spunk there, Maureen's gullet, you'd just be good on you, bomber. Go on, my son. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. I think that's cleared that up. Right. Number 20. Bob Marley, No Woman, No Cry.
Mm.
Do you like Bob Marley?
Yeah, I love Bob Marley.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you ever listen to Bob Marley?
I had a time, I reckon, when I was about 17,
yeah,
where I listened to it a lot.
Yeah.
And really liked it. My favourite Bob Marley song is a song called I Know, which is brilliant. And it's like, it's not like on Legend or any of the... I say I'm a huge Bob Marley fan. I like all the fucking hits.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like most of the hits.
Yeah. In at 18, Can Can by Bad Manners. I remember thinking this was one of the best things I'd ever seen on Top of the Pops.
I think I liked it at the time, but I think in retrospect, that might have been when I went off Bad Manners.
Is it fundamentally a sizable man in a dress going la 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 la, just booting his legs about?
Yeah, that's the unique selling point.
In at 30, Wordy Rapping Hood, Tom Tom Club.
I think that's a good record, Wordy Rapping Hood. Do you like that?
I think it's fucking brilliant.
It's a mental record.
Yeah. And what was the other single that the chart botherer?
Didn't they do
that? Genius of Love.
Oh, I don't know that.
Hmm.
Is that any good?
Yeah, you'd know it straight away if I played it.
How's it go?
I'm going to find it for you.
Because they did a cover of Under the Boardwalk, didn't they?
They did,
yeah. Yeah, it's obviously not going to be as good as Bruce Willis's version.
Yeah,
Yeah, I know that. I don't even know that was there.
Yeah. How good are the covers?
Yeah, they're amazing, aren't they?
So, yeah, there was also, Jesus Love. And, I mean, because Tom Tom Club was Tina Weymouth and...
Chris France, was it?
Yeah, from Talking Heads. Yeah. Right? The little side project.
Yeah. Has there ever been a side project that's been any good? I mean, that was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's one I wish you would have mentioned up front.
Yeah, I did, but you just fucking, like, you were too busy talking about your mixed martial arts and just talked all over me. I did fucking mention it before. I did actually fucking mention this before we started.
Oh, God. Sorry.
You're so pumped up, you couldn't fucking open your ears enough to listen to the point I was trying to make.
I've just got roid rage. I can't fucking think straight.
angry head and a tiny little cock.
Yeah, Roy's back on a juice, isn't he? I think... no, I don't think there is. Has there been good side projects? Can you think of any?
Now, whenever I think of side projects, I always just think of Mike and the Mechanics.
That's the only one I can think of
now. It's just like... I don't think any good ever comes from having a side project. That was another one on Now 80s today, was Arcadia.
Oh, well, there was that and the Power Station, wasn't there? They split and done them, didn't they?
Yeah. But that Arcadia was pretty... It was like Duran Duran with no redeeming features.
Power Station? Robert Palmer was in there as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was... Some Like It Hot is urgent.
Yeah. I remember when... There was all this hype around Sugar Ray Leonard fighting Tommy Hearns. I think it was like the third time. It would have been like late 80s, maybe 88. And I remember being really excited about it. And all of the montages leading up to it was that... And I was just like... And I'd never heard that before. And I was like, oh, this is brilliant. Because it was like... It was with a big boxing montage of like knockouts. And I was like... Oh, what is this song? And I had no idea that it was Robert Palmer and a few members of Duran Duran.
Another song like that is used in the same context as "The Heat Is On."
That's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it?
What's your thoughts on Footloose?
See, I like Footloose. I do like Footloose because I like the film Footloose. I really fucking like the film Footloose. Mm. I think it's I like them Stranger Comes to Town films, like the Clint Eastwood ones, and
First
that's
Blood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. God, I like the song Footloose. I used to play that out at the gay clubs. All the gays had a good old dance around to it. They'd all come out from behind the curtain, strut their stuff, and then you put some of it on after and they'll all go back behind the curtain again.
Put on a bit of body talk. Oh, dear.
Do you like Footloose then?
No. No? I really don't like it.
What don't you like about it? Sort of fun.
No, because I ain't really got a problem with, like, Walking on Sunshine. That's the ultimate fun record, isn't it?
See, I don't like Walking on Sunshine. But you're right, it's the same kind of vibe, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it, but, like, it don't offend me. Girls just want to have fun. I'm all right with that.
Yeah, I don't mind girls just want to have fun. But it's the tempo of Walking on Sunshine that I don't like. But then Footloose is that kind of quick tempo song. But I just like it. I suppose it's just kind of tied up with the film, isn't it? It's like, don't you forget about me. Mm. Would you like that as much if it weren't to do with the Breakfast Club?
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Because you can't
the two things
it.
Are so fucking intrinsically linked, aren't they?
Are there any more songs you want to talk about before we move on?
Yeah, there was one more. At number 40, I had Kirsty McColl. There's a guy who works down the chip shop, swears he's Elvis.
Oh, how good's that?
She was good though, Kirsty McColl, wasn't she?
Yeah, really good. Really, really good. Yeah, they don't know.
It's good that, isn't it?
Just fucking brilliant.
I would fucking pick the Tracy Ullman version, but just because that's the one you heard in the 80s, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. I just think it's great. You saw Kirsty McColl, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Did we talk about this already on here?
Might have done it at Christmas when we spoke about the Pogues.
Yeah, but I see her supporting Morrissey at Ali Pally and... Wheeled out Shane McGowan, pissed out of his fucking head. But I mean, you just kind of realise when you see her just how many fucking good songs she had. Do you like Walking Down Madison?
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah.
It was on Top of the Pops the other night because it was 88, 89 or whatever. And they're on Top of the Pops. And who was on stage?
Johnny Marr's on there with her, isn't he?
Yeah. And she was on there as well doing harmonies.
With the Wonder Stuff?
No, with the Mondays doing Hallelujah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was on there singing like the harmonies on Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's on...
She was on every. Cheap seats, she was on she? Every. Yeah, everyone's fucking record.
Sexuality
doing harmonies,
by
wasn't she,
Billy Bragg.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, as she was Johnny Marr.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, she was good. She was. It did make me think though. Do you remember? Did you fucking have a neighbour called Emilios that ran the chip shop?
He lived across the road. Yeah, Emilios. He moved in my street when I was probably about 7.
Yeah.
And they moved in across the road. And I believe they were sort of Greek Cypriot, and they bought the chippy in Grays.
Yeah.
And if I remember rightly, a few times we went in there and got free chips.
Do you know what? This is what I was thinking. Because I remember you getting free chips one time and thinking, like, he's got it made. Like, you know, literally fucking VIP, isn't it?
Someone's winning in life.
And also getting that, like, the fucking, didn't you get the scraps as well?
Can't remember.
I think you got some scraps for free as well, and like, fucking hell, imagine that, getting free chips. And I think, like, you know, we're giving it the big, and like, you know, you just got, you know, you could go in there any time you wanted and order anything off the menu.
Why are you making out I was like Jay from The Inbetweeners? Fucking ridiculous. All right, what was weird was, fast forward a couple of years, and that's when I would have met Antonio. Whose nan owned the chippy.
Yeah.
And then whenever I was around Leeds and we was out and about, we'd pop in there, free chips again.
Oh, fucking free chips.
Yeah. Yeah, free chips, mate.
Don't get any better than that.
No, no.
I got free chips the time when I used to work in Epping. There was a chippy along. They did lovely fucking chips, really nice chips. And I went along there one time and I was just waiting to order. And the girl Diana, because I was in there quite a lot, because they did such nice chips. The girl Diana, who worked in there, pointed out across the road this red fucking Ferrari pull up. And she went, "That's Rod Stewart." So I went, "Fucking hell." So I'm going to go and get his autograph. She went, "I'll get us his autograph." Like, she was too shy to go and talk to him. So I got some chip wrappers and a fucking biro offer and went across the street. And they've pulled up, and Rachel Hunter, who was his missus, went in this fucking wine shop. And he just stood out the front, you know, with his hands on his hips, like a bloke with loads of pubes. And I just went up and went, "Rob, can you sign me chip wrapper?" And like, he was nice and chatty and like much less of a cunt than you thought he would be. And got him to sign one for Diane as well. Took it back to the chippy, and I got three chips, mushy peas, and a butter roll.
What a day!
Yeah,
what a day!
Best day of my entire life.
Well, it's really weird because I was going to say when we was talking about the Elaine Page song. And memories, if you had to like pick a memory of a day that was like the best day, what would it be?
I remember like that, meeting Rod Stewart, getting free chips. Just after that, I just had, "It's such a perfect day," just going round and round, yeah, in my head. Yeah. I don't think that can be topped.
No, I agree. Yeah. Oh, that was another thing I wanted to speak about. The Fizz were in the chart.
Were they back in the chart?
Piece of the Action. I don't know that song.
Yeah, I have a vague memory of it. Yeah, so I think it would have been all right, but don't fucking hold me to that.
So speaking
just
of
just want
like,
a piece of the action.
Like that's just a
just
that
want
is,
a piece of the action.
That's just an 80s song there that you've just tried to make sound like you know what it is.
No, I do know what it is. Yeah. But I probably haven't heard it for over 20 years, 30 years.
Well, speaking of, like, piece of the action, can you remember, like, the first time, like, you had a fight or the first time you got punched or punched someone?
Yeah, I don't know whether we talked...
I think we spoke about your fight with Oakley.
Yeah.
Was that your first fight?
I had another one at junior school, and I'm not going to say the name of the bloke because I thought he was all right, but I can't remember what happened. You all know who it is because he was the kid that could throw a fucking tennis ball over a mile.
That weren't all though, was it?
No, and his dad worked in Saudi Arabia and he'd seen a stag beetle like over 2 foot long.
And, didn't he say he rode it home from the pub one night?
What, the stag beetle?
Yeah. He'd come out of the pub pissed and he couldn't get a cab, so he rode a stag beetle home.
I don't know whether you've embroidered that over the years.
He was the... did he say that he was the best in Essex at scrumping?
Yeah. 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 But he was... I have to say, he was a dead shot with a fucking catapult. Like, he'd walk through the woods and there'd just be this fucking trail of dead birds behind him. Oh, that was another one. His uncle, when he was a kid, had a job as a chimney sweep. And one night, he didn't have a bath after he went home. And he woke up the next morning and he couldn't get it off. And now he's black.
Oh, what a brilliant liar.
Yeah. I had a bit of a to-do with him one day. And he hit me in the dinner queue. And I remember thinking, that didn't hurt as much as I thought it would. And then just crying in front of everyone. And just feeling really disappointed with myself. Because it didn't actually fucking hurt, but it was just a shock of getting hit. And then after... I'm getting me mum. After school, I thought, I'm just not having it. And so I went and I grabbed him as he was on the way out of school.
Did you stop crying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like hours before. Okay. Like, I still had red eyes and that. But I grabbed him. And you know that thing you do where you have your hands on each other's shoulders and you're trying to do the leg sweep.
Yeah, yeah.
That you could do when you're fighting as a kid.
Yeah.
We was doing that and he went, get off me now or I'll just make you cry again. And that just, like, it just gave me the red mist. And I've just gone, crack. And I hit him. And then I've looked around and I've seen my mum at the school gates just with a really shocked look on her face. And he just went, I'll go like, you're gonna be for it tomorrow. Like that, you know. And you think, like, I didn't actually mind him that much. Like, he was an all right kid.
Yeah.
But just, you know, these things happen at school. It was only fucking, junior school scuffle.
But can't you remember, like, I'm sure he turned up at Willie Ed's at, like, at school that I went to, and there was, like, a little lake called Primrose Island.
What,
like,
and he was fishing in it?
I was like, fishing in it. Like, you know, like, Huckfin. But that wouldn't have been surprising, would it, if he would have been there in, like, a little kind of straw hat?
No, because...
With a bit of fishing line tied to his toe.
Because one time he come and played round my house, and... we used to go to my nan's on a Sunday night. So we sort of said goodbye to him and he was just going to walk home.
Yeah.
And my dad's obviously seen in the rearview mirror him fucking turn around and go back up our sideway. And my dad's gone, I just want to turn around a minute. And my dad's turned around, parked the car up and went and found him fishing. Like, my dad had koi carp in the back garden, being an Essex wanker. So he's just fishing in the fucking pond trying to catch the koi carp. And so I just remember seeing him coming down the steps outside my house with my old man's toe up his arse.
Well, I remember, like, I might even have been with Barham, and we was fishing, and we'd caught, like, a load of little rudd or roach. I'm sure it was at Primmy, and he was there, and I remember him just, like, lifting up our keep net and just going, can I borrow some of your bait?
That's completely in keeping. The thing is, if you've seen a 3 foot stag beetle, they are going to look like bait, aren't they?
Of course, absolutely. I love a good liar.
Oh, do you know what? One of my favourite lies is one that you fucking said. Was it one Buckley had told you about the bloke who's budgie and had
a Big Papa.
Oh, was that Justin? Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so he's got a mate who was his version of our mate. And his one, they used one of his lies in the Inbetweeners. They used one where he said he went to a safari park with his dad. And he just said a moose was just bogging him out. So his dad just turned around and knocked it out. But this is the same guy that...
that's a Paul Sykes one, isn't it?
It's pure Paul Sykes.
Punch him around the fucking ear off.
Sharks. And he went, this is the same bloke that they were all down the pub. And I like rang him up, said, "You're coming down?" He said, "No, mate." He said, "Like, I had a proper workout tonight." He went, "I'm just so pumped up, I'm stuck in the bath." same bloke that the bass in his car was so loud, killed a pensioner when he drove past her. But the one you're talking about is he come down the pub and they're like, "You all right?" He's like, "Nah, mate, nah, not good. Me budgie burned to death." And it was like, "What?" And he was like, yeah, it broke his leg a couple of weeks ago. So I made a splint for its leg with a Swan Vesta. And he accidentally struck it on the sandpaper at the bottom of the cage and it burned to death. That's so good, isn't it?
That's excellent, isn't it?
Oh, dear. A good lie. There's nothing better than... It's when the liars kind of have that thing where... Because I don't know how you are with it, but if, like, if I find someone like that, I'm never going to be the one to go, "Shut up."
No, like, you... I'll tell me more about that.
Yeah. And like, and it's when they've got that glow about them, like, "Fucking hell, dickhead. I'll tell him this one now." And it's like, oh, I love it. I love a bloody good liar that can, like, if you can be bothered to come up with stuff like, "I'm stuck in the bath because I'm so ripped." Like,
I don't know if I said it on this podcast, but there was a bloke I used to work with at the jean shop who was going down the steps of a nightclub. And the girl in front of him had like stiletto heels on. She raised her leg up and it caught him under his ball bag. And it ripped his ball bag open and both his bollocks dropped out and landed on the steps.
I mean, what's to be gained from telling that?
I've no idea. But perhaps, I wonder whether he was just trying to explain the, like, God's stitches. Like,
I don't know.
Everyone's got them, though.
I know, but it's not like, you know... Whoever you're trying to impress with that's going to think, "Oh, cool guy."
Yeah.
Like, "Your bollocks fell out of a nightclub." Yeah, nice
one, mate. "Your bollocks dropped out your sack." Nice one.
Oh,
it's a cry for help, though, isn't it? It's just a cry for attention.
It is a cry for help.
Well, you'd know.
Television. TV shows that launched this month, Razzmatazz. Remember that?
What one was Razzmatazz?
It was a music show on ITV. Didn't recognise the host, but a few years later, a 18-year-old Lisa Stansfield was a host on it.
Really?
Yeah. I do remember it. And like, and if you go out, you YouTube things like fucking Bananarama live on telly and things like, you'll see them on like Razzmatazz.
Yeah, Razzmatazz rings a bell, but I couldn't fucking tell you any details. Certainly don't remember Lisa Stansfield.
Yeah, good word, Razzmatazz, isn't it?
It is. It just makes me think of pulp.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to talk about Grange Hill. Because
you've become obsessed with Roland from Grange Hill. Like, every two fucking seconds you send me for a picture of Roland from Grange Hill.
And Janet.
I was only trying to help you, Roland.
Right, so, just looking, because Grange Hill changed quite a lot. In 1981, so we've got to look at the cast that joined in 81. So up until now, we've got, I mean, another bloke that had, we'll probably give Pat Roach a run for his money, Alan.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah.
Tucker's mate, Alan.
Yeah.
I reckon Alan was the sort of bloke that had pubes at 13.
Definitely. He was a big old unit.
Yeah, yeah.
Was he about 25, though?
Definitely. I'd like to know how old he was. Alan Humphreys. He was actually called Alan Turner in the first one. That's what's brilliant. Alan Turner didn't justify how many pubes that man had. Yeah. So he had to be Alan Humphreys.
Yeah.
Because Alan Humphreys just sounds like he's a little bit more tasty.
Yeah.
I remember like Alan being like Tucker's muscle.
Yeah.
And like, and obviously there was Benny as well. But that was from 79 to 81.
But Alan Humphreys, as I remember, was...
He'd done judo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember he'd done judo in it.
I remember him being a bit, like, big and a bit, like... Yeah, like, not the sharpest tool. Like, him and Tucker, I would imagine, like, Sid James and Bernard Breslau.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would never have Bernard Breslau down as muscle.
Nah.
Like,
nah, if it's...
Oh, Sid.
Yeah, if he's going to kick off, like... Bomber's going to fucking put Breslau's teeth down his throat every day. I mean. Yeah.
Oh, dear. So in 81, a few people started that you're known as. Christopher Stewpot Stewart, a.k.a. Mark Burdis.
Yeah.
Mark Burdis obviously has then gone on to act in lots of things. And he's a very famous boxing ring announcer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And obviously brother of Ray Burdis, filmmaker, that done...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Love, Honor, and Obey.
All right.
What's the one at Ray Winston's funeral? Final, I can't think what it's called, and it was like,
oh, I know the one you mean.
And he leaves a video at his funeral, doesn't he, Ray Winston? And it's the same cast as Love, Honor, and Obey. It's like all of them people from what was the police comedy that they were all in that Burdis wrote?
Operation Good Guys.
Yeah, it's all of that lot.
Is it Final Cut or
that's it? Yeah, it's Final Cut. Yeah, that's fucking good. That was.
I ain't seen any of them for fucking years and years, but they were really good. But
Love on a Bar.
Did have Jude Law in?
Yeah, Jude Law, Johnny Lee Miller,
Sadie Frost.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else was in them. Loads of fucking like Reese Iphens.
Yeah.
Yeah, Love on a Bar is fucking brilliant. Yeah, I'll probably watch that once a year. I love that.
I ain't seen that for fucking years.
Right, so yeah, 81 was the year that also Susan Tully, a.k.a. Michelle Fowler, joined, and Norman Gripper Stebson. He was bloody horrible, wasn't he?
Oh, he was a cunt, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Wasn't he horrible? He was so horrible, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he was just like, every scene when he'd walk in, you just think, oh, fuck off, Gripper.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously, like, fast forward to 82 when, like, Jonah and Zamo and Rowley and all of that join, and it's like Roland did not need fucking Gripper in his life, did he? Oh,
nah.
Can you remember there? I'm sure there was an episode where they just kept saying "Roll Roland" and they were just rolling him. Obviously, I don't think he was up for it. I don't know if Janet stepped up. She was always kind.
What, did you have Roland on your podcast? Or did you had him come and DJ for you or something?
I've had Zamo DJ for me.
Yeah.
Like, he was really nice.
Yeah.
Like,
didn't he run a key cutting business or
still
something?
Still does.
Zamo? Oh, really?
Yeah, still got a little key cutting place in somewhere in London. Yeah, because he quit Grange Hill because he became a pro boxer. And then he got injured in a...
What, he got off the gear?
Like, yeah, cleaned right up, got out of the arcade. And yeah, like, I mean, we shouldn't overlook, like, how harrowing that, how scary that was.
Yeah.
Like, because I remember, like, obviously that iconic scene where, like, he's in Roland, in the arcade that Roland works at, and he's just slumped there, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I remember it, like, as the scene closed, it's like, doo-dum. Yeah. And it kept zooming in closer, didn't it, to his head. And I remember thinking, I'm never doing drugs.
Was that the sleeve of Just Say No?
Yeah.
That picture of him just slumped there, yeah.
Yeah. But then I remember, like, afterwards, there's a scene where, like, he's like, no, Jackie, I'm clean. And then she finds his gear and empties it down the sink. And, like, and he just goes mental. And I remember just thinking, oh, I'm never doing drugs. Like,
that was pretty heavy for a fucking kid's show, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, it really was. And, like, it bloody good though, Grange Hill, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what was your wildest memory of school?
But probably, I reckon my wildest memory of school was probably we went on a first year trip to France.
Yeah.
And there was a new kid who joined, like, halfway through the year.
Right.
And no one really knew him.
Okay.
And when we got to the hotel, we'd all just kind of got our stuff in our rooms. And I looked out the window, and he was just pegging it around the courtyard, like, completely in the nude.
Did you get to the bottom of it?
Yeah, but not in a Mark Harmon way. No, no, no one knew why. I still don't to this day know why.
Wow.
I'm going to confess something now. Like, I used to quite like seeing someone's cock in context.
Explain.
Well, like, do you remember when Lee Hubbard nicked David Ottley's towel on the Cub trip to France?
Yeah.
And he's just, like, got his cock out. Just like, give it back. Like, it's in context, so...
I mean, that's only the same as Barbara Windsor's top pinging off.
Yeah, exactly, like, yeah.
So to give that a little bit of backstory, we also went to France for the day trip with Cubs, didn't we?
Yeah.
On a hovercraft.
Oh, that's right, yeah, fucking hell.
And I remember all we was talking about was when we got there, we were just going to go to France, buy a flick comb and snap-its and bangers and stuff like that. I remember, like, we went to the beach, and for some reason, David asked Lee... to hold the towel round his waist.
Yeah, while he changed his swimming trunks. It was a bad choice, wasn't it, really?
Of all the people, you probably wouldn't have chosen, would you? And then, obviously, the second that he'd popped his pants off and before he'd, like, put his trunks on, he just legged it with the towel. Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
So did you have a wild memory from school?
I don't know. I remember, we had a supply teacher a lot called Rolf, because he looked like Rolf Harris, and we used to terrorize him. Sorry, like really did used to let him have it, and we used to do things like, because he was an alcoholic, and like every lunchtime he'd just be in the pub, and then he'd sort of turn up pissed at school, and I understand why, because it was just really unpleasant teaching us, because we just didn't give a shit, and. I remember, like, every time he'd, like, get up and go to another desk to talk to someone, I'd go up to his desk and take the inside of his bar out and put a different colour in, like, back inside there. And every time he wrote, it was a different colour, and I could see it was different. Then I hid in a cupboard, and I'd come out and said I'd been into Narnia, and he used to call me Wally Whiffin, and he fucking hated me. And he'd clip me around the back of the head and things like that. But if I had to pick a time that I just look back on and think, that's weird. It was on a Friday afternoon, we'd have media studies, and it was just like all of like our group of friends, really, that in one class. So it was like a complete DOS. But the teacher that ran it was our drama teacher or a music teacher. She knew nothing about media, and she hated me, like absolutely hated me. She'd throw me out of the class like pretty much every week. And I remember this was a really sunny day once, and I'd bought like a Walkman in that was like you could record on it. And I remember like playing up and getting thrown out. And then I went out the classroom, and then I like come around the outside of the thing, and there was them big old kind of iron critter windows that like fold open.
Yeah.
And I just sat underneath it, holding my little recorder up, while she just sat there with like a few of the girls from the class just slagging me right off. And then I remember going to the headmaster and playing it to him, thinking, like, I'm going to get her sacked.
Yeah.
And, like, no, he just, like, told me off even more. There was always, like, this real sense of excitement, because there was a girl, I'm not sure exactly what religion she was, but she was told that when she left school she'd be having an arranged marriage. And every lunchtime... her way of protesting this was to throw herself in the aforementioned Primrose Island, the lake.
Yeah.
And as much as when you think back now, that's horrific that she was that disturbed at what was being pushed upon her, that she was going to every day like throw herself in this like rank like stench of a lake. I say lake, it was a ditch. But I can't tell you the excitement when... it would get to the point where it was like, here she goes. And the teachers were like playing bulldog, trying to get her. There'd be like dinner ladies running after her. And everyone would be like, hey! And then she'd just like zigzag through them and then just go splash and just jump in primmy like every lunchtime. So there was a hell of a lot.
I'm imagining that music from the final scene of one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Yes, exactly that. Exactly that. I've got a few more things to mention. You got anything telly-wise you want to talk about?
No, I've not. No, I didn't do any research.
So I've got a thing about some of the news. So it was Wimbledon. And so this was the iconic "you cannot be serious," yeah, man.
Well, you can't say it like that.
Well, you say it.
You cannot be serious, man. That's the only way you can say it. Mm. You cannot be serious.
How cool was John McEnroe?
Oh, he's a bollocks, isn't he?
Yeah. All right. How exciting that, like, and I remember, like, people hating him.
Yeah. Right?
Because he messed with the status quo, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was like, you can't be doing that at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And, like,
oh, it's because we're all too busy clapping along to fucking Cliff Richard and eating strawberries.
Exactly. And, like, and then you just get this proper fucking leery little dude that turns up with a proper fucking buff nut barnet and a sweatband in the middle of it. But I wanted to talk about sweatbands.
Oh, how good were sweatbands?
You had a Liverpool sweatband, didn't you?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I had a Liverpool sweatband. I had some fake Nike sweatbands that we got on holiday in Benidorm. I used to love a sweatband in the 80s. I did love a sweatband.
I remember seeing, like, Bjorg and McEnroe and that, and, like, and then sort of just thinking, someone I know, like, at school had like, a kind of, like, just a red, white and blue kind of striped sweatband. I'm thinking, fucking hell, I want one of them.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember going around my nan's and telling her about sweatbands. And she went, oh, I'll make you some. And, like, she just made me these ones that were, like, claret and, like, bran. And they were made, like, nylon. They were made out of some curtains. And I just remember, like, putting, like, one around my head and two around my wrists. And, like, I got, like, a rash and they were really itchy. That was so horrible. And it was, like... But then I remember getting, like, an Arsenal sweatband for Christmas, like, a pack. And, like, I still smell them, like, opening them. I would have got them out of, like, Smallcombe Sports.
Yeah.
And, like, and there was, like, two with a little bit of card in the middle. Like, yeah. And it was just, like, oh. And I remember just, like, wearing sweatbands. I never sweated in them.
Nah. You just felt the bollocks when you had sweatbands on, didn't you? Like a proper sportsman. And casual as well.
Did you wear a sweat headband in the video for Shaven Haven?
I might have done. I don't know whether I maybe gave it to someone else, because I had this sweat. I can't remember where did I get that fucking sweat headband from? From, like, that was on holiday. It might have been when we went on holiday at Benidorm. I had this Elise New York City Marathon, like your proper fucking 80s, like, headband. But yeah, that the Shaven Haven video, we was all wearing, like, you know, retro tracksuits and stuff for that. It was all about a kind of rap battle kind of thing, wasn't it? Between a hairy crew and a shaven crew.
Well, I guess we should start to wrap it up, because we're well over the hour mark. But we've just talking about McEnroe and that. Can you remember a time that was probably the most stressed you've been playing sport?
I think there's been a few instances where I've lost my cool playing five-a-side football. So when I used to go on a Saturday, there was this bloke who, the Saturday game was just like, it was always played in a nice atmosphere, like a joke.
How long goes this?
I suppose this kind of...
You old enough to know better?
Oh, definitely. Right, yeah. Okay. So I started there when I was maybe like 27 or 28.
Right.
And then this would have been maybe 10 years after that.
Oh, okay.
So I was probably like late 30s.
An old man, yeah.
No, but you say old man, but there was people like nearly twice my age, yeah.
Right.
There was people that, like, people kind of 50... and maybe even early 60s there when I was like 38.
Competitive football.
And but it was just kind of... it was good, though, but there was people of all ages, and there was people that had been, like... Because the game started in 1974, so there was people who were like late 50s, early 60s, and their sons, and sometimes even, like, you know, one of their grandsons there.
Yeah.
So it was, like, a good mix. It weren't too serious, always playing quite a nice... night. It was competitive, but like just quite a nice atmosphere. Yeah. But there was this one fucking bloke who always seemed to be on the other side too, who played it like a Sunday league game and would just kind of like elbows kick you up in the air. And every fucking week he'd do something like elbow me off the ball or kick me off the ball. And I just fucking had enough of it. And one week, I can't remember what he'd done, but he'd done something and I just fucking got the red mist. And I just thought, the next time the ball fucking falls in a 50-50, I'm just going to fucking take him out. And this ball fell right in the middle of us. And so I just fucking went in and just went smack, right? And he's sort of gone up in the air and he's gone crack down on the floor and just stayed there. And then I just heard him go, like that. Oh, fucking hell, right? And he stayed down for ages. And like everyone stood around and going, you're all right, you're all right. And they've helped him up and he's gone in goal, but he just went grey. Like, and in the end, like, he was in goal for a bit and then he just got his bag and went. And he broke two of his ribs. And he was off for ages. And then when he come back, it's like he hadn't had any effect on him at all. Like, and he's fucking had a kick at us. So I've just fucking gone up, like, just squared up to him. And he's gone, all right, you broke two of me ribs. I can't even fucking run properly anymore. And that was it. Like, after that, like, I didn't have any problems with him.
You won.
I don't want to win like that, though. Like, I'd much rather just everyone be all right.
A win is a win.
Remembering when we were young in the 80s.